those things. I mean, what's it going to be? I mean, there's another one coming down. The murder hornet. How many of you saw the murder hornet is in the United States now? Oh, no, we're all going to die. The murder hornet's going to murder us. Has it occurred to you that the purpose of the news media is just to spread fear and to get us to worry and to be up and to be afraid and fearful and worried about things? Well, let's listen to what Jesus said. Hallelujah. How many of you believe we ought to listen to what Jesus said above what the news media or anyone else is saying? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at that. He says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat. You know, the food supply chain, I don't think it's going to break down. I think that's fear. I think that's sensationalizing. But even if it did, the God we serve, remember that He fed 3 million people in the wilderness for 40 years by raining down food out of heaven for them. He brought quail for them to eat. Remember that the prophet Elijah, when there was a famine and drought in the land, that the Lord used ravens and they brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening twice a day. They brought him bread and meat to eat. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the God that we serve. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Don't worry if you're going to have food and clothing and shelter. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Stop and think about that for a minute. Look at the birds of the air. Think about them. For they need, I'm ringing up here, Mike, if you'll turn me down a little bit. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Think about it. Anybody seen any birds out at springtime? You know, I've noticed that creation hasn't skipped a beat. The trees are putting on their beautiful green foliage. The flowers are blooming. The birds are singing. Amen. They've not been the least bit concerned. They've not been sheltering in place. Amen. They've just been doing what they do. Amen. Glory to God. The birds, it says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Think about all the birds that you see. And God feeds every one of them. He makes sure that they get fed. And He says, are you not of more value than they? We are. We're not just His creation like the birds are. We're His children. We're His sons and His daughters. And then Jesus says this, which of you by worrying, in verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature? In other words, worrying can't change or help your situation at all. If you worry about the murder hornet, that just sounds so hilarious to me. The murder hornet. If you worry about it's a hornet. It's a hornet. It's an insect. It's called the murder hornet, and it's from Asia of all places. I mean, I just don't know about Asia. You know, we need to pray for bad stuff to stop coming out of Asia, don't we? Amen. But if you worry about the murder hornet, or if you worry about the food supply chain, that's not going to help the situation. Worrying won't do anything. Amen? Well, Pastor, if we can't worry, what are we going to do? Well, I'm so glad you asked this morning, because I'm going to give us three things that we're to do, what to do instead of worrying. There's a place, if you want to make notes on the back of your bulletin, there's a good place to make notes, and we gave you a pen, so make some notes here. Three things to do instead of worrying. Number one, pray. Now, When I say pray, I don't mean just throw up some prayer. Oh, God, do something. I'm not talking about a prayer in desperation like that. I'm talking about praying that gets results. I'm talking about the kind of praying that lays hold of heaven's help and heaven's resources. And you know, each and every one of us as believers, as children of God, we can pray prayers that get results. We can pray prayers that lay hold of heaven's help, that lay hold of heaven's resources. We need to develop our prayer life. We need to pray, not just to, oh, Lord, do something. You know, like one situation, Dad Hagin tells a story about a family and a storm was coming up or something, and his parents were praying, and the little boy noticed that his parents were praying, but they were just praying out of fear. There was no faith to their prayer. And he said to them, oh, Ma, oh, Pa, a scared prayer ain't no account. Well, that's true. A scared prayer ain't no account. But a prayer of faith will get results. A prayer of faith, a prayer according to the Word of God and the will of God, will lay hold of heaven's help and heaven's resources. And we can all pray that way. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's look at that. Philippians 4, verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. Look at what it says here. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Oh, except if the food chain's breaking down. Or except if the murder hornet has arrived from Asia. No, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, being filled with fretting and worrying and anxiety, instead of doing that in every circumstance and in everything, do what? Pray. Pray. Hallelujah. Let your request be made known to God. Now, it's not necessarily wrong to let God know about your problem, but don't leave it there. A lot of times people just leave it with a problem. Oh, God, I have a problem. Please help. And, you know, He's merciful, and he'll do as much as He can for us. But we're to make a request to Him. How do we do that? How do we make a request, a petition or a request known to God? Well, for every problem that you face, there's a promise. For every problem that you face, there is a promise in God's Word. I guarantee you. There's not a problem that you face that there's not a promise in God's Word to cover it. Hallelujah. And within every promise, there's power and there's provision. Glory to God. Glory to God. So what do? Well, we go to the Word of God and we find scriptures that cover our situation. And so, Pastor, I don't know any. Well, you need to get to know them. That's why it's important to read the Word of God. That's why it's important to study the Word of God so you can know those promises. I can't tell you the times, too many to count, that I faced a situation, a crisis, and the Holy Spirit would speak to my heart, not an audible voice, but on the inside an impression. What does my Word say? And He would remind me of a scripture. Glory to God. Has that ever happened to you? Amen. Praise God. Well, if you know the Word, if you've gotten the Word on the inside of you, then when that crisis comes, you can depend on the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to remind you of what His Word says. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So find scriptures that cover your situation and petition the Lord. Petition the Lord based on those promises. In other words, like this, Father, so if you have a financial need, you go before the Lord and say, Father, you said in your Word that you would supply all of my need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, I have this need. I need to pay my mortgage. I need to pay my light bill next week. Father, I bring this need to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said that you'd supply all my need according to your riches and glory. Father, I'm a tither, and you said that you'd open the windows of heaven for the tithers, and you'd pour out blessings for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Remind him of what his word says. Bring a petition to him based on what his word says. Now, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Let me remind you of this. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, he says, now this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. This is what that we have?
Confidence.
Confidence. God wants us to pray with confidence. He doesn't want us to pray with uncertainty. You know, it's kind of sad. You know, if you've ever watched a football game and maybe one team is behind by a touchdown or whatever, or by 4 or 5 points, and they got to have a touchdown either to tie it or to win it, and they're on the 50-yard line, and there's 3 seconds left, and they've only got time for one more play, what do? The quarterback drops back, and he throws a pass as far as he can, hoping he can get it into the end zone, and hoping that one of his receivers is going to make it down there and jump up and catch it. You know, the chances of that happening are like 1 in 1,000. But what do they call that pass? They call it a Hail Mary. They name that desperation play after a prayer. There's not a lot of confidence there. That's not what prayer, biblical prayer, should be. It shouldn't be a Hail Mary in that sense. Amen. He said, this is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have it. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So the 2 steps here, if we ask according to his will, then he hears us. He hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know I have it.
Amen.
Think about that. Amen. So what does it mean to ask? So the key is asking according to his will. Because if I ask according to his will, I know he's going to hear me. And if I know he hears me, I know I have it.
Amen.
Amen. So the key is asking according to his will, isn't it?
Yep.
Now, does asking according to his will, does that mean pray your prayer and then tack on the end of it, like pin the tail on the donkey? If it be thy will?
No.
That's not asking according to his will. Now, there's a certain type of prayer that is accurate. When you're committing your life to God, when you're saying, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do with my life, Lord, like Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done.
Amen.
But when you're praying for a need to be met, that God has already promised that he would supply that need,
yes,
then don't pray, if it be thy will. He's already told us in his word what his will is.
Amen.
When we pray for healing, we don't have to pray, Lord, heal me, if it be thy will, because he's already told us in his word, by whose stripes you were healed.
Amen.
When we pray for our material needs to be met, we don't pray, Lord, meet my needs, if it be thy will. If not, let me go hungry and starve. We don't have to pray that way. Amen. Because he's already said, your heavenly Father feeds you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Your heavenly Father will take care of you. My God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. So what does it mean to ask according to his will? Well, his word is his will. When we ask according to what his word says, then we're asking according to his will. Hallelujah. And if I ask according to his word, which is his will, then he hears me.
Yes.
And if I know he hears me, what? I know I have it.
Yes.
I know I have it.
Yep.
I know that I have it.
Amen.
That's the confidence that we have, John said.
Yes.
That's the confidence that we have. This is the kind of praying I'm talking about doing instead of worrying.
Amen.
Praying to get results.
Yes.
Praying to lay hold of heaven's help and heaven's resources.
Glory.
Amen. Back to Philippians 4:6, it's in the New King James. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Notice that next phrase, those next 2 words, what are they?
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. So, if I know that he hears me, then I know that I have it. So I can go ahead and thank him, right?
That's right.
Now, when he says here, he's talking about doing the thanksgiving at the same time you're doing the praying. Now, certainly it's right to thank God after the answer has come, after the answer has manifested in your life. Certainly it's right to say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for supplying that need. Thank you for coming through. Thank you for answering that prayer. Certainly it's right to thank him after it's been manifested, but it's also right to thank him when you pray. When you pray. That's what he's talking about here. He says, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. So when I pray, I believe that he's heard me. And if I know that he's heard me, then I know that I have it. So I can go ahead, even before I see the answer, I can go ahead and thank him for it. Thank you, Lord, that you heard me. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. Thank you, Lord, that it's mine. And you know what that is? That's faith. Amen. That's faith. Yeah. And Jesus talked about how critical and key faith was to answered prayer. He said in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He said in Matthew, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen. This is the kind of praying that I'm talking about doing instead of worrying. And we can all become expert in praying this way. It's not that God says, oh, well, you know, you're just a special prayer warrior. I'll let you pray that way. No, it's for every one of us. It's for every one of us, every one of his children. Amen? Praise God. All right, what else? What else can we do instead of worrying? Let's go back to Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Notice that. Do not worry, saying. Do not worry, saying. The King James says, take no thought, therefore, saying. See, worry starts in our thoughts, doesn't it? So we have to deal with the thoughts. Don't take the thought. Jesus said, don't take the thought. Don't agree with, in other words, don't agree with that thought. The devil can come to you and say, you know, the food supply chain's breaking down. What are you going to do? You know, the murder hornet is out there. You know, you better stay inside. How are you going to be able to pay your electric bill next month? You know, you might lose your job. You know, the economy is going to get worse. All those thoughts, they start with thoughts, and those thoughts come into your mind, but don't take the thought by saying it. When we agree with that thought, when we say that thought, we've taken that thought. Right. Saying it causes us to take it or accept it. Then it becomes my thought. Then I own that, and that's the avenue that the devil then has to work in my life through that. As I begin to say those things. So don't take those thoughts by saying it. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Verse 32, Jesus said, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, food, clothing, shelter, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God's not oblivious to your material needs. He knows what we need. He's not asking us, oh, well, you should just be spiritual and not even want any material need. No, he knows we need them. He knows we live in a physical world. He put us here. Amen. And he knows we need these things. Praise God. But, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we're children of the kingdom of God, aren't we? The Gentiles, those that are not in the kingdom of God, the unsaved, they're seeking after things because, why? Because they don't have a heavenly Father. They could have if they would just come into his kingdom, if they'd believe on him and receive him and start walking with him. But they don't have a heavenly Father. They got to fend for themselves. But we don't have to fend for ourselves. We're children of the kingdom. We've got a Heavenly Father who cares for us. We've got a Heavenly Father who'll feed us and he'll take care of us. So we're called to a higher pursuit. Not the pursuit of things. Not the pursuit of eking out a living. Hallelujah. We don't have to be concerned about or seek after things. We're freed up to seek first the kingdom of God. And when we do that, all the things that we need will be added to us. See, we're representatives of the kingdom of God as well. You are. Say this. In fact, make this declaration. Say, I am a representative of the kingdom of God. My job, my assignment on this earth is to advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It is. Our number one job is to advance and spread the kingdom of God on the earth. Now, there's a wide range of jobs and assignments and callings and giftings within that. But if you boil it down, you and I are here to advance and to spread the kingdom of God on the earth. Amen? Now, if the devil can get you and I all caught up into worry and fear, then we'll lose sight of our assignment.
Amen.
We'll stop fulfilling our assignment of advancing the kingdom of God, and we'll just start fending for ourselves and following, just acting like those that don't know God. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, here's a great example. The Apostle Paul was someone who stayed focused on his assignment. I want you to look at what he says here. He says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." So, first thing that we see, go back to, stay on 22 for a second, Kim. First thing that we see in Paul's life was he had some uncertainty, didn't he? Are we facing uncertainty right now? Unprecedented uncertainty. You know, the world, there's never been more uncertainty in our nation and in our lives probably than what we've been facing over the past 2 months. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm going bound in the Spirit. I know that I got to go to Jerusalem." And he said, "I don't know what's going to happen there. There's a lot of uncertainty. I'm facing uncertainty. I'm dealing with uncertainty." And then the next thing he says, except, verse 23, "except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that celebrations and honors and awards await me." No, the Holy Spirit is witnessing in every city as he's on his way to Jerusalem. People would prophesy to him and they would tell him, "I don't want to have to say this to you, Paul, but chains and tribulations await you." There was a foreboding. There was uncertainty and there was a foreboding that, hey, I'm in for some rough times. Isn't that what was happening? But look at what he says here about all that. "But none of these things move me." Glory to God. We ought to be able to say what Paul says. "But none of these things move me." Yeah, there's uncertainty. Yeah, there's trouble ahead. There's foreboding ahead. But none of these things move me. I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Amen. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." Why? "So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." What is he saying? He's saying, "I'm not going to be moved away from my assignment. I'm not going to be caught up in worry and fear. What's going to happen in Jerusalem? What's going to happen to me? I just sense, you know, that there's trouble ahead, but none of these things move me. I'm going to stick with my assignment. I'm going to continue to seek first the kingdom of God." What do we do instead of worrying? We seek first the kingdom of God. What do we do instead of worrying? We remember and we stick with our assignment. Yes. Hallelujah. And we're not moved away from it. None of these things move me.
Amen.
Glory to God. What is our assignment? It's the same as Paul's. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. In some form or another. Again, that's why. That's many faceted. Hallelujah. There's a lot of variety within that based on your life, your calling, your situation. But bottom line is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to finish my race with joy. Hallelujah. Determine right now that you're going to finish your race with joy. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said in Timothy, he said, I've believed right to the end. I've run hard all the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. That I may finish my race with joy. Glory to God. So, let's do that. Instead of worrying, let's seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. What can you do to advance the kingdom of God? What is your assignment? So, well, I don't know. Well, if you'll seek God, if you'll ask Him, He'll show you. You probably do know. You probably just haven't defined it. It's whatever you have delight doing in the kingdom of God. Barbara talked about, she says, I'm having serving withdrawals. Well, that's her assignment. It's to serve. It's to serve people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. All right, Reed, come on back up if you would. The last one is this. Instead of worrying, hope and dream and expect good things to come your way. Amen. Hallelujah. Instead of worrying, hope and dream and expect good things to come your way. Yes. Let me ask you a question. What is worry? It involves the future, right? When you worry, it's something about the future, isn't it? We worry if we're going to keep our job. That's in the future, right? That's in the future, isn't it? If you're going to keep your job. You can worry about the past. You have regret about the past, but even if it's something in the past, even if you did something, made a mistake or something in the past, then the worry comes with, how's that going to affect me in the future? Right? So worry is always in the future. All right? We worry if we're going to keep our job, if we're going to lose our house, if we're going to get some disease. It's all in the future. Hadn't even happened yet, and yet we're thinking about it. And yet we're thinking, oh my, this could happen to my life. That's what worry is. It's all in the future. And Job said this. I've used this scripture many different times, but I want to bring it out again today. Job 3:25, Job says, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Do you know that Job, this really explains a lot of what happened in the book of Job. The Bible talks about a hedge being around him, but then that hedge coming down. Well, yeah, it was God who took that hedge down so the devil could do that to Job. It was Job's fear and dread and worry that caused gaps in the hedge of protection that God had put around him. Job was already thinking, life is just too good. Something bad's going to happen. You ever thought that way? You ever thought, well, things are just going too good. Something bad to happen. Yeah, that's wrong thinking. We've all thought that way, but that's this natural thinking that we get, that we pick up, that we get ingrained, that I talked about last week. If we're going to practice good spiritual hygiene, we got to wash. We got to wash our minds from that wrong thinking regularly, constantly, continually. That's wrong thinking. Expecting that something bad is going to happen. Job had everything going for him, had every blessing in his life, and yet the devil was able, after relentlessly working on him, got him into fear, got him into worry, got him into dread. Oh no, something bad's going to happen. Oh no, something bad's going to happen. And Job finally, after it happened, he said, yep, here it is. The thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. So, here's my point. Instead of worrying, instead of being in fear, do the opposite. Yeah. Hope, dream, expect good things to come into your life. Yeah. If worry and fear and dread cause bad things to come upon us, and they do, then hopes and dreams and expectations of good will cause good things. That's a spiritual principle. Will cause good things to come into our lives. Oral Roberts, when his ministry gained national prominence, he was part of that great healing revival in the late 40s and the 50s, and then he went on television, and he came on TV, and the camera came on, and the light came on, and it said, "Oral, you're alive right now." And he pointed his finger at the camera, and he said, and spoke to millions of people across America, and he said, "Something good is going to happen to you." Amen. Hallelujah. What was he doing? He was inspiring expectation. He was inspiring hope. I know Brother Hagin talked about it. He said pastors came to him after Oral Roberts got up and began to say that. And they'd say, "You know, Brother Hagin, I wish he wouldn't say that." Brother Hagin said, "Why not? You think something bad's going to happen to you?" Brother Hagin knew what he was doing. He was inspiring faith. He was trying to get people to get out of fear and let's get over here and let's believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's hope and let's dream. Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. Let's look at her case in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Stay right there on that verse for a second, Kim. Think about this. Here's a woman for 12 years. She's had this condition. And she's went to all the doctors. And she spent all her money on the doctors. And every month, her condition got worse and worse. And worse and worse. She had 12 years of nothing but disappointment and bad news. That's a rough run. That's a bad run of luck, isn't it? Well, it wasn't luck. It was Satan. It was the devil doing that to her. The next verse, verse 27, says, "But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be well.'" Glory to God. What did she do? She said, "You know what? I've had 12 years of nothing but disappointment and failure and defeat, but I'm going to believe one more time. I'm going to hope one more time. I'm going to expect one more time." And she had great expectation here. She said, I'm going to fight my way through the crowd. I'm going to touch his clothes. Because when I touch his clothes, I shall be well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know what she did? She touched his clothes. The Bible says power went out of Jesus and into her. And she was made whole. And Jesus turned to her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." If her faith can make her well, then your faith can make you well. If her faith can make her well, then your faith can see to it that you're provided for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. God's got plans, good plans for you. You need to agree with that.
Yes.
He said, he told us in Jeremiah 29:11, "I've got plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope."
Yeah.
We need to start hoping and expecting.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Don't get engulfed in worry and fear.
Right.
Hornet schmornet. Amen.
Amen.
COVID schmovid.
Amen.
Who cares? I'm going to hope.
Amen.
I'm going to expect God's best.
Yes.
I'm going to believe for God's best.
Yes.
I'm going to believe for God's favor.
Yes.
I'm going to believe, like the psalmist said in Psalm 27, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living."
Hallelujah.
Believe that you'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Believe that. Hallelujah. If you don't, the alternative is to lose heart. Just get all engulfed in the worry and the dread and the fear and food chain breaking down and waves of COVID coming. I believe I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
People are talking about, "Oh, they were ready for 2020 to be over." I'm not. Because 2020 is going to be a remarkable year for the people of God. It's not over yet, honey. It's not over yet. We're not even halfway through. This is going to be a remarkable year for the people of God. I believe that's what God spoke to me on January the 5th. I declared it here. Hallelujah. If I declared it here, that means it's for you too. He inspired me to say it in this house. That means it's for you too. 2020 should be a remarkable year for the people of God. Hallelujah. I believe that we'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. In Psalm 23, David said, "Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Does that include today?
Yes.
What about when tomorrow becomes today? Does that include then? Surely goodness and mercy. Don't expect that bad things and dread are going to follow you. Expect that goodness and mercy are going to follow you. Hallelujah. Hope and dream and expect good things. Hallelujah. I keep this in my Bible and I pull it out and read it from time to time. It encourages me. It's something that David Stearman wrote almost three years ago, and he's going to be here in a couple of weeks ministering. But he called this little newsletter, it's one of his little newsletters he sent out, and it's called Blessing Bomb. Genesis 41, 39 and 40, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'You shall be over my kingdom, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you.'" He's talking about, he said, everything can change in an instant. He's talking about the life of Joseph. Joseph had some dreams, didn't he? Joseph had dreams of honor and favor and greatness, and it looked like everything was going in reverse for that happening for several years. But then in an instant, Joseph was brought from the prison dungeon to second in command in the nation of Egypt. Everything can change in an instant. You can be dragging along, walking in defeat for years, when suddenly your world explodes into blessings. Yes, explodes. One of Webster's definitions of the word is a rapid or sudden increase in amount or extent. That's what happened to Joseph after 13 years in prison. And it can happen to you. A friend of mine decided to try her hand at writing novels. She dreamed up a story about two castaways on a desert island and set to work. For 2 hours each morning before leaving for her regular job, she plugged away at her humble little project. Once finished, she sent it to multiple agents, and every one of them refused her book, hands down. As a last resort, she self-published it on Amazon, and over the next 6 months, sold a few books. Then came the big explosion. Amazon arbitrarily selected her novel for their regularly offered big deal promotion, highlighted it, put it on sale, and her numbers skyrocketed. 150,000 copies later, she signed a seven-figure contract. Now, that does not include the decimal points and the figures after that. That's millions. Seven figures is millions. Okay. Four figures is thousands. Six figures is hundreds of thousands. Seven figures is millions. She signed a seven-figure contract with Penguin Books, and MGM optioned the movie rights for her story. Last time I checked, her sales were astronomical. It happened suddenly. After a long period of nothing, all at once, boom. Let me encourage you today to expect sudden blessings, because they happen more often than you think. God has sworn to increase you. And if you won't give up on Him, He'll keep His word. Amen. As a child of Abraham, you inherit the promise, "Blessing, I will bless you." Genesis 22:17. You may not want to write novels, but you may want to pay off your house, find your soulmate, start a family, or be made physically whole. So don't put it past God to drop a blessing bomb on you.
Amen.
The longer you've waited in faith, the more likely your faith reward will come soon.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's hope and let's expect. Let's don't worry. Don't worry about anything, Jesus said. Don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, seek first the kingdom of God. Fulfill your divine assignment. Hallelujah. Don't let anything move you off of that. And instead of worrying, hope and expect and dream. Good things come in your way. Let's bow our heads in prayer.